We are going to conclude the series on God, or study of the attributes of God. The first one was omniscient God, or all-knowing God. The second one was omnipotent God, or all-powerful God. The third one, that was last week, God is relational. You know, our God is so omnipotent, so much knowledge about everything, but still, He is relational, which is an amazing thing. And today we are going to study about the omnipresence of God, or God is present everywhere. The technical term is omnipresent. This is a kind of omni, is a Latin word. He is present everywhere. That is what we are going to study. Although, you know, there are other attributes we can study, spend the whole year. You know, the time is not sufficient. Even, you know, we will be studying about God lifelong. Still, we cannot exhaust our knowledge of God, because God is so much, infinite, incomprehensible. You may ask, what is this omnipresence of God? What is the definition of it? Omnipresence is an attribute of God which teaches that God is not limited by space and distance, but He is present in all the places and at all times. It is an attribute of God which teaches that God is not limited by distance or place, but He is present in all the places. Now, God is fully present here, 100%. In New Delhi, God is 100% present. You go to Chile, He is 100% present. You go to the moon, He is 100% there. So He is an omnipresent God. Where do we see about this omnipresence of God in the Bible? I would like to highlight three Bible verses, and we will learn from this omnipresence a little bit deeper. We will turn to Jeremiah 23 and 24. The verses will be showed up here, so you don't need to turn. Jeremiah 23 and 24. This verse was, you know, this passage was penned down by Jeremiah when he was in Jerusalem and the recipients were in Babylon. And he, God is asking this, this rhetorical question: am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord? And am I not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord, for everything? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, the answer. When you say a rhetorical question, answer will not be there. Answer is yes, here. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord? And am I not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? The next passage is Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. There is no place, the psalm writer finds, where there is no God. In the heights, in the depths, in the deepest places, God's presence is there. That we call the omnipresence of God. The third verse, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul was standing before a group of philosophers, and he is saying this: for in Him, that is in God, we live and move and have our being. For in Him, we have our being, we live and we move. These three passages, if we were to really analyze, they teach three things. God is not limited by space and distance. You know, when people were in Israel, some of them were in Babylon. God was present in Jerusalem, 100%, and God was present, 100%, in Babylon. When people of Israel were in Egypt,
God was 100% in Egypt, as much as He was present in the promised land. And He is not limited by space, geography, and distance. You know, sometimes people say, you know, this is a territorial God. They say, you come to a particular village, this is the God. You go to the next village, you have a different God. You go to another village, you have another different God. All of them have different names. But the God we have come to trust in is not limited by space and He is not limited by distance. That is why we see Elijah goes from Samaria and he goes to another place, a place called Zarephath, and God is there. And he goes to a place where he challenges the God of that village. God of that village was Baal. And he says, you pray to your God, I pray to my God. Let us see who is going to answer. And 450 Baal's prophets, they did everything. Their God did not answer. Whereas he just prayed, Jehovah came down and God answered Elijah. Elijah prayed. 3.5 years there was no rain in the land of Samaria, Israel, and the whole area, you know, Syria and modern day Lebanon and all those places. Why? Because God is not God of Jerusalem, God is not God of Dallas, but God is God of everywhere. And He just blocked rain for 3.5 years, and when Elijah prayed, it started raining. Our God is a God of every place. And you are in New York, or you may be in Dallas, your family may be in India. You can experience our God 100% everywhere. So you have to just have this idea that our God is not limited by space and distance. There is no territory that is outside of God's watchful presence, because He is not limited to a single place. There is no territory which is not under the watchful presence of our God. That's an amazing thing. That is why in Psalm 139, Psalmist says, whither shall I go from your presence, God? When I go up, you are there. When I go down, you are there. When I go to the deepest of deepest places, you are there. When I go to Himalayas, God is there. When I go to a very small place in Sri Lanka, God is there. So there is no territory in this world which is not under the watchful presence of our God. God is there in our bedroom. God is there in our computer room. God is there in our bank. So when you believe in this omnipresent God, you cannot lock Him in a particular place and go back and visit Him on a particular day, a particular day of a month, and particular day of a year, or a particular season. He is there 24/7. God is where we are. It's an amazing thing. God is where we are. You know, when Ben-Hur shared his testimony, he was, in a period of discouragement, depression. When I talked to him 2 days or 3 days back, he could not even speak because he was going through valley of discouragement. Sometimes we may say, oh, God is not there. He has, left me. It's not possible. Even when you go through valley of discouragement, our God is with us. That is why Psalmist in Psalm 23, he says, even though I walk through valley of death, I will not fear any evil, because your staff and your rod, they comfort me. When Ben-Hur did not have a job, when he saw several other people getting job and making good money and live happily, when he was going through the discouragement, God was active and very close to him. Sometimes you may be going through some kind of difficulty and feeling, hey, where is God? God is not there. But God is there. That is the beauty. The God we have put our trust in, He is where we are. We don't need to go and see Him, because He has not isolated Himself. He is not up there in the top of a mountain, or He is not up there in a valley. But He is here. He is at home. He is in our workplace. It is an amazing thing to know. We are never alone. We can never become alone. Only it is a lie when people say, I am lonely. You are not lonely. You will become lonely only when you don't have your God with you. And it is not possible that you be in a place where there is no God. So how can we demonstrate that God is in all the places? I'd like to just tell you three stories and read three passages. And from there we will go. In Genesis chapter 21, 17 to 18, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him to the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Hagar was a servant maid in Abraham's house. For some reason, they told her to leave, and she was probably on the way to her homeland, Egypt. From the place where she left, as she was going down, it is a dry place. You will not get a drop of water. There is no shrub in that area. You know, south of Beersheba, a place called Paran, that is where Hagar was. A dry, dry area. Close to Paran is the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing is there. You will see only burnt up mountains and burnt up hills. And when she was there, she saw her son dying of thirst. As a mother, she can do whatever she can. She can give her life. She can just give her blood or anything. But you know, something that is beyond her ability. And she said, "I don't want to see my son dying. Let me just go to the other side." She put her son under a shrub and she walked away. At that time, God heard Hagar, and he said, go and take care of your baby, because I'm going to make him into a big nation in the desert of Beersheba, a place called Paran. God is there even in your wilderness. God is there even in your wilderness. You may think, oh, everyone has rejected me. There is no one to help me. There is nothing that I can find that will satisfy me. But God is there, you know, to take care of your needs in the wilderness, in the desert place. I would like to illustrate the same thing again in Daniel chapter 22. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. Daniel was put in lion's den. You know, the normal case is when you throw a person or a piece of meat in lion's den, that's all, you know, you will not see that, it disappears. But Daniel was in lion's den one whole evening. And this is what we see. Daniel chapter 6 verse 22. Daniel is saying, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." Daniel is saying, when I was in lion's den, my God heard me and protected me from the mouth of lions. You know, God is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is there even in the lion's den. Probably some of you are not in, most of you are not in lion's den experience, or literal lion's den. But some of you may be feeling, man, I am pulled from everywhere. I'm torn apart, both internally and externally. I feel that everyone has left me. But God has not left you. Psalm 27, it says, "Even your father and mother may forsake, but I will not forsake." You can never be in a place where I'm not watching you. God is watching you, even if you are in lion's den. I want to illustrate through one more point. That is Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Acts 12, verse 6. Peter and James were put in jail. The previous night, James was beheaded. And Peter was going to be killed by Herod Agrippa. And this is what we read in Acts chapter 12 verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Where? In the middle of the prison. Sometimes you may feel, man, I am far away. But you are not far away. God is so close. Peter was rescued from the prison when he was lying between two soldiers, bound in chain. God came to the prison. We'll just look at all three passages. God appeared to Hagar in the desert. God appeared to Daniel in the den. God appeared to Peter in the prison. You know, there is no place where God cannot be. God is where you are, in your workplace, in your family, in your school. Because our God is an omnipresent God. He is everywhere. You know, we can tell with Psalmist, whither shall I go from your presence, God? You are there everywhere. It is so it's so comforting to know that our God is omniscient. He knows our future. He knows our life. It is so comforting to know that God is omnipotent, all powerful. He can help us in all the difficulties that we are facing. God is so relational, like my father, mother, and my friends. He just walks with me. It is so comforting to know that God is omnipresent wherever I am. In my difficulty, in the situation of, you know, whether it is good or bad, God is there. How comfortable or comforting it is to know this. You know, before we move further, I want to tell you, when we say God is everywhere, we are not talking about a philosophy called, or an idea called pantheism. Everything is God. We are not talking about that. We are not talking about panentheism. That means in everything there is God. We are not talking about it. There is a religious idea that God cannot come to graveyard and the toilet. There is a group of people, they say, God will not come to toilets and God will not come to graveyard. But not like that. Our God comes to graveyard, our God comes to toilets, our God comes to everywhere, wherever we are. And I'm just saying, God is everywhere. He, you know, the sense, He is where we are. He is omnipresent God. So you may ask, so what is it for me? That's our message. We are going to have three ideas that should really help us when we know God is omnipresent God. One, God is our nearest person to go for help. God is the only nearest person to go in the time of need. You know, I was telling our friends the other day, there is no one near to you nearer than our God is. You know, if I say, Brother Martis Andrews is close by, but God is closer than him. If I say, my mother is so close to me, but our God is closer than him. So, you know, God is our nearest person to go to help. If you are going through difficulties, physical difficulty, or if you are going through emotional difficulty, you know, God has placed several people in our lives. We can go to our spouse, we can go to our parents, friends, we can go to our counselors. But a lot of times, we will not be able to get help from any of them. That is the time we can go to God and we can just pour our hearts. And we can cry to him like Hannah cried. You know, people may misunderstand. When Hannah was crying, people misunderstood. But you can cry. You know, Benner was saying, you know, how people cry when you go before God. You learn to cry because God understands your heart. You can, I cry to God because he understands me. you know, I have somehow, you know, the world has a picture, men should not cry. Because they say, cowboys don't cry, so men should not cry. I think, you know, we need to cry. If God did not expect men to cry, then He wouldn't have given us tears. He gave us. You know, where else can we go to cry? When I go to human being, they can only help me a little bit. When I go to my spouse, they can only help me a little bit. But when I go to my God, He is an omniscient, omnipotent, relational, omnipresent God, gracious God. He will help me. Is there someone here? You need to go to our God. This is the best time. You know why? He is nearer to you than anyone nearer to you. Number two, nearness of God gives us comfort. That is the comfort the psalmist enjoyed in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through valley of death, I will not fear no evil. Or I will fear no evil. Why? Because he knew God is with him. When God is with you, who can be against you? No one can be against you. It says, he who touches you touches the apple of my eyes. You know, what God is saying is, I am so protective of you. When you go in the darkness, you know, you can be strong because God is with you. When you are going through a difficult time, when you are going to face an uncertain future, you don't need to be afraid. You just be so bold because you can say, you know, my God is with me. So many people can misunderstand you. Still, you can say, my God is with me. He is not going to misunderstand. It's a comfort. Nearness of God gives us comfort. And the third point is this. Nearness of God gives us warning as well. You know, sometime when God is so close to us, a lot of time we ignore Him. When we speak certain things, when we do certain things, we don't realize our God is omnipresent. We can, you know, fool the eyes of the world. We can say, oh, that person is not seeing me. My spouse is not seeing me. My teacher is not seeing me. But God is seeing you. You know, for God, day and night is the same. You know, nothing is closed before God. Everything is open. Everything is, visible to God. So nearness of God should give you warning.